to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, and I am filling in today for my friend Kristen Bry. And we are about to jump into a conversation here about downtown Milwaukee and its future. And as always, a reminder, if you like your show, tell your friends. We're a growing show on a growing network, and you can help spread the word. So whether it's sharing the word on social media, yammering to whoever's in front of you at work, whatever it might be, spread the word. Civic media, As Goes Wisconsin. And as I mentioned, we are going to be joined for the next segment to talk about the Milwaukee's 2040 downtown plan. And joining us for that conversation is Tanya Fonseca, the long-range planning manager for the city of Milwaukee, who is proudly celebrating 11 years of city of living and collaborating in the city of Milwaukee. Tanya, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Dan, for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so you had some interesting news from the Milwaukee Department of City Development last week, which is beginning to unveil its downtown plan for 2040. So let's start with the big picture here. What is this plan? How is it coming together? And what has gone into building this?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for asking. So the city has a comprehensive plan which covers every inch of the city, all 96 square miles. And we're a big enough city that we divided up into different area plans so that we have a customized planning process, right? And this year, we're doing downtown, which is really exciting. And the last time we updated it was in 2010. So we do these updates about every 10 to 15 years. And they are long range. So we're looking out to 2040 so that we have that ambitious, pragmatically ambitious roadmap. So we know where we're going and how to get there. And of course, we want to make the most of this planning process and hear from anyone and everyone who wants to voice about their vision for downtown.
Yeah. So you said the last one was in 2010. I guess you could say a few things have happened in downtown Milwaukee since 2010. We've got a new NBA arena. We've got a new streetcar. We're building a new expansion to the convention center. We've kind of figured out the Grand Avenue, maybe even. So a lot has happened in the past decade plus in downtown Milwaukee. So what were some of the planning portions of that went into, you know, what we saw come to fruition and how might we, you know, be able to apply that same logic going forward towards 2040? 2040 is weird to say out loud.
I know it is weird, but it's exciting. Yeah. So, you know, I think what's critical for planning is that we really have a lot of folks engaged, stakeholders that want to enjoy the space that we're planning, but also the stakeholders that are actively part of the implementation of it. And I think that that's what helped with so many successes of implementation for 2010, but also signals to us, because so much was done from the 2010 plan, it's time to update this plan. And downtown has a lot of really amazing partners that help with the day-to-day. And one of them, of many, is Milwaukee Downtown Incorporated, which is downtown's business improvement district, or one of them. And they approached us a couple years ago and said, you know, we've got so much implemented, it feels like it's time to do the update. And so we agreed to partner on that with so many others. And that's why we're here today working on this next plan for 2040.
Yeah, so there were some renderings of what is going to be in that plan that were shared. I know there was an article in Urban Milwaukee last week that had a lot of those plans. There was an open house held last week at the Third Street Market Hall. What are some of the highlights of those plans?
Sure. So I think one thing that everyone agreed on from the get-go for this planning process was that public realm improvements and the connections to the surrounding neighborhoods of downtown really need to be strengthened. We have an amazing downtown, but we are an ambitious group of Milwaukeeans who all really want to see change in downtown. We want downtown to be more equitable. We want more density downtown. We want it to be more walkable. We want people to feel safer and want to be able to utilize different modes of transportation beyond personal vehicles. So it's an exciting time, and I think it's an exciting time for Milwaukee in general, and it's good timing that we're doing this update for that reason. It's an interesting time, right, because we did start the process during the pandemic, but we do also have some new tools, obviously, including Zoom, that have made engagement really interesting and fun. And I think one big goal of the plan has been making it as accessible as possible. So as you mentioned, we had our third public meeting last week at the Avenue, but we also are using our brand new engagement platform online so that folks can, you know, kind of, you know, get connected at any point in time. And then we've been doing a lot of community outreach too, so we can kind of meet people where they are, which is really exciting.
What's the weirdest idea that somebody's come forward with in these public hearings?
You know, honestly, I can't say there are really any weird ideas, because I think everyone has just been so thoughtful and enthusiastic. I mean, last week I had an amazing conversation with some youth that were there with their parents, and they were just kind of hanging out around a map of downtown, and kind of got into a great conversation with them about saying, you know, downtown kind of feels like it's for adults. We want to feel like it's more our downtown too, and have more family-friendly activities and more affordable activities, or, you know, public spaces where you don't feel like you have to be downtown to, you know, spend money. You can just kind of be there as part of your civic life, which is really exciting. I also had a really exciting conversation about benches and how downtown needs more benches. There just aren't enough. So I just, nothing weird has really popped up. Everyone is right on. And if, you know, you even go onto our engagement platform today and look at the map, there's thousands of comments where people are putting thumbtacks all over downtown with really, I think, smart ideas. And all of those are building the backbone of this plan, which is really exciting too, that we're in this era of kind of crowdsourced planning because of these new tools that we are able to utilize too. So.
Yeah, that's really exciting to see how many people are getting involved and getting excited about downtown. I will say, I know that there has been at least one very weird idea submitted, because I was the one who submitted it in the online platform. You know, you said there was like these thumbtacks that you can put on the map and have your suggestions. So I put a thumbtack down in the old Bradley Center lot and said that there should be a 100-foot Giannis Antetokounmpo statue next to the Fiserv Forum there. Any chance we can get that? Get that moving as part of this plan?
Well, certainly that also came up in the harbor of Milwaukee, that same idea. But we didn't see that as a weird idea, Dan. We really didn't. It brought a smile to our face. And I think just goes to show what an impact, you know, the book Bucks and the new arena and the new era of Westtown. And all of that is because, you know, years prior, there was that big idea to take Park East down and look at all of the development and activity that we now have in our downtown to celebrate about. So that's
pretty look at
cool.
That, removing a highway and developing downtown. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting how that works. We're talking with Tanya Fonseca from the Milwaukee Department of City Development about the new downtown plan. Now, one of the public spaces that was highlighted in the renderings that was released from the downtown plan was one of my favorite parks in the city, which is Cathedral Square. Can you tell our listeners kind of what went into and what is being presented as, you know, some possibilities for the future of Cathedral Square Park?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, early on, we knew with the public realm focus that we really wanted to have some beautiful renderings to showcase the vision for some key streets and public spaces, which are a few of our parks in downtown, and Cathedral Square is one of them. And Cathedral Square is such an amazing active space already, right? Activated regularly by concerts and other community events. But we also want to see that day-to-day, you know, activation. So the playground helps with that. The rendering is showing a pavilion in the space, actually, that could contain any number of things, like, say, a cafe or some other type of vendor, public restrooms, which is a very popular public comment and very understandable. Seating out in there, a permanent concert stage, right? Because we don't have one. It regularly gets set up. More trees. And I think what's really exciting too is Jefferson Street, which is just directly west of the park, one of the sides of the park. You know, we kind of focused as on that area as well to widen the sidewalks and kind of pull the park more into that street and down into that entertainment district so that there's more space for people, which is really exciting.
Yeah, it'll be great for, you know, many of those downtown events that we all enjoy, the jazz in the parks, the all sorts of different things. Right now, you can, you know, there's plenty of people down there visiting the Christmas lights that are always there in Cathedral Square Parks. One of my favorite places to visit. I actually proposed to my wife in Cathedral Square Park. That's right. Yeah. During Christmas season while there were the lights there. So there you go. So any other pieces of this plan that you are particularly excited about?
Yeah, I think one thing that really stood out when we started our engagement was the public realm really needed to be a focus, but also growing our downtown population. So one of our key goals of this plan is to at least double the downtown residential population by 2040. So we're hoping to have about 40,000 residents in downtown, which means we need a lot more housing. And I think that that's really exciting and ambitious because everything kind of would connect to that. Like, we need more activation. We need more businesses. We need more public life. How do we do this? Well, we need more density in downtown. And downtown, as awesome as it is, I think everyone is yearning just for like a little bit more. And one critical aspect of that will be more density.
Well, I know that Mayor Cavalier Johnson, with his goal to grow Milwaukee to 1 million people, probably going to need to add some more people downtown if we're going to hit that number at some point. So that's a very exciting, you know, possibility for bringing housing and hopefully affordable housing so that so many different people from different backgrounds can enjoy all that there is to enjoy about downtown. So is there anything that if our listeners wanted to learn more about this project, where could they go?
Sure, absolutely. So we have an online engagement platform that everyone can go to and see everything that we showcased last Wednesday, as well as transparently all of those comments that we've been collecting through the system. And so you just go to engage mke.com/connectingmke, and it's all there, including these awesome renderings that Dan just shared with you.
All right. So thank you so much for joining us today, Tanya Fonseca from the Department of City Development, who is working on the Downtown Milwaukee 2040 plan. Very exciting stuff there. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am not Kristen Bry. I am Dan Schaefer. I am filling in for Kristen Bry while she is out this afternoon. And we just had a couple of terrific guests join us today. We had Evan Goyke, who was running for city attorney, join us. He's also part of the Joint Finance Committee, so we talked about some of the stuff happening in the legislature too. But I think that run for city attorney that he's making, the fact that this election is more than 2 years away, and you have a very prominent member of the legislature who's, you know, looking to jump into this race at this time, really shows you how much of a need there is for change in that city attorney's office.
It's astonishing when you think about it, and to have Evan here to talk down and really break down what it is that the city attorney's office does explain why, because we hear over and over again sometimes, Dan, about these terrible landlords who have hundreds of citations and fines hanging out there, and yet the city never seems to take any movement against them.
Right. There's so many issues that it seems like could be addressed by someone in this office. But Tyron Spencer, the current city attorney who was elected in 2020 in his first term, has not made a particularly positive impression in this term. I think there's been a ton of people leaving that office, a ton of turnover, some really weird, really problematic stuff coming out of that office. It's just every time you hear a story about Tyron Spencer in the city attorney's office in Milwaukee, it's not a good one.
No.
So, it's very interesting that Evan is running for that election. I might have a new state representative. He's my state representative. So I'm going to have to encourage one of my neighbors to run for that seat.
Step up. But isn't it interesting too, Dan, that there's nothing in place to discipline people who behave like this in an elected office. I just kind of find it remarkable that there are no guardrails on whatever is going on in there. You know, you talked about the turnover. Good heavens, we've lost like 3/4 of the longstanding attorneys that were there are gone.
Right.
Because they quit or resigned or retired.
Yeah, or are suing the office over.
That too.
Sexual discrimination claims.
Right.
And it's just like there's all sorts of craziness that has come out of this office. And so, and it was an office that if you were covering the city of Milwaukee for a long time before that, you never really heard about. Because, I mean, Grant Langley, as we mentioned, was the city attorney from 1984 to 2020. And you almost never heard about, you know, what was happening in that office. Spencer comes in and challenges that, says it's time for a change. I agree that 34 years or
a long
whatever
time.
A long time to be in the same office. I made many of those same arguments about how long Tom Barrett had been in office or however many different leaders have been in office. So time for a change. Sometimes that change is not a good one. And that seems to be what has happened with Spencer. But somebody like Evan Goyke, who has been, you know, like you said, a member of the Joint Finance Committee, is in his third term on the Joint Finance Committee, one of the more respected members of the legislature, among the Democrats in the legislature. You know, I talked to him for a couple stories that I wrote this fall about elections in the legislature. He's gotten really involved, you know, in some of the local level recruitment type stuff, getting people to run for office. So, you know, it will be a loss in Madison to have him not there if he does indeed win this election in a couple years. So I think that, it's one to watch. That's for sure.
And I am always impressed by people who are willing to put themselves out there and do and try to get these jobs.
It's so important. Just showing up and just being involved and getting involved and taking the plunge to run for office. It's huge. So, in a couple of years, I will perhaps be looking for a new state representative on the west side of Milwaukee to fill Goyke's seat. I mean, who knows? It'll be important for somebody to step up there as well. And so the other thing we got a chance to talk about in the last couple segments here was with Tanya Fonseca from the Milwaukee Department of City Development talking about the Downtown 2040 plan. Now, 2040
seems so long away,
but it's 18 years away. My youngest daughter will presumably be in college or something like that.
Is that not mind-blowing?
That is mind-blowing. My daughter will be two in January. My youngest will be two in January. And so 18 years from then will be.
Wow.
Yeah. Thinking about that. And I always think about, now that I'm a parent, I think about everything in terms of their lives and not mine.
Which is probably as it should be.
Exactly. So just to think about, what's happening in downtown in 2040 is a little bit mind-bending. But it calls back to a lot of the work that it reminds me of a lot of the work that I did, especially when I was at Milwaukee Magazine. I was at Milwaukee Magazine from about 2014 to 2016. And I wrote a big cover story in 2014 about the many decisions that Milwaukee had to make as it applies to its downtown. And we made many of those decisions since then, and now it's time
they
to
actually
turn the page.
Came to pass.
They came to pass. It was, you know, we didn't know if they were going to approve the deal to build the Bucks Arena. We didn't know if they were going to, you know, approve the deal for the streetcar. We didn't know if they were going to expand the convention center. We didn't know if they were going to do anything with the Grand Avenue Mall or just tear it down. And now we have, you know, a lot of those decisions have been made, and I think many of them were good ones. Many of them are decisions that Milwaukee can be proud of. And many of those, you know, like the convention center still getting built down there. There's a many number of things that are still happening. But, you know, I think it's a good time to be looking ahead to what downtown is going to be over the next couple decades.
You got to start in advance.
Yeah.
Look down the road.
And we got to be, you know, we got to be optimistic about this. And we have to, you know, really, you know, kind of set a high bar for ourselves going forward. And as, you know, kind of with that goal that Mayor Cavalier Johnson had put for the city of Milwaukee to grow to 1 million people, you're going to have to grow downtown. That's going to be a really important part of that. So that 2040 project is really going to be one to watch going forward. We are going to be joined in the next segment by Allison Garfield of the Cap Times. She has been writing about Amtrak in Madison. I think I was still driving in, Jane. You had a chance to talk about that a little bit with Kristen earlier in the show.
Just a little bit. Just and how little nice bit. It would be.
And how nice it would be to take a train to Madison. So we're going to be talking about her that with her after the break. Stick with us.
He'll meet you on God's Golden Shore.